I prepared something totally different, and then just last night God spoke to me about something that I must share with you guys. So I changed the topic. So I hope it's going to reinforce a few things that God has been speaking to us from the beginning of the year. This journey is beautiful. You know, for me, it's walking in the streets of Utrecht last week was precious to me. I was asking God the same questions again. God, this is not hard ground. I'm not going to believe it. I'm trusting you for a harvest. I'm trusting you for the anointing to break the yoke. God, I'm not going to settle for second best. And, you know, while walking there, and listening how people respond to the gospel. And you know, there was one Scottish guy that we got hold of there. He was sitting smoking something. It's definitely not normal stuff. But I'm not an expert in those things. But we engaged with him. And he told us a sad story of his son that actually is now in Utrecht. And he's coming for his son because he really misses him. And I could see the pain in his eyes, you know, as he was telling this story. And he said, you know, I did believe in the past. There was a stage in my life when I was 12 years old where I had a motorbike accident. And I clearly saw God and a visitation from God in my life. And it turned my life upside down. But ever since, I grew so hard because I am so bitter toward God for what life is throwing at me. And talking to him, and as a young man, I mean, he's probably early 30s. You know, it was for me such a moment where I could feel him. You know, last night I was watching, trying to find your friend. Is he on The Voice? I'm trying to find him on The Voice, and he was clearly not on the last episode because I watched the old one and I didn't see him, so he was on the previous ones. But just there was one guy singing, and you could just hear how he's singing out of his pain, but with such emotion. You know, you could see, yeah, his father passed away, and you know, he was singing this song, and you could hear it was not just the song. This was really a life story. It's life happening here, and the people were just in tears, you know. It's just beautiful to see how a song would touch people like that. But listening to the stories of people on the streets, you know, and there was this young boy that I confronted with the gospel, and I said, listen, I was probably 16, 17. I was cautious to share the gospel because I was so afraid, you know, that he will feel it's, you know, adult imposing, you know, a religious talk on him. But I nevertheless did it. I just felt this is the guy that the Holy Spirit has given me now, and I'm going to go for it and share the gospel with him. And I asked him, so, you know, do you believe it? He said, no, you know, I don't really believe in these things. Talking to him, he said, yeah, no, you know, my parents told me from a very small age that, you know, Jesus is not really real, and you know, there's not really a God out there. And you know, you listen to his heart, you listen to his story, and then you think, I so wish I could spend hours with you just talking about life. You know, you're 16 years old, but clearly your life is ahead of you, and there's so much that you can receive now if you can just make the best choice of your life. And this other guy that we went to, he's standing in front of a shop, and clearly the shop owner of a little shop, and trying to share the gospel with him. You know, you just the starry eye look, you know, where you know, listen, there's nothing going on there. There's a resistance that you can't penetrate. And, you know, sharing the gospel with him, and then ending up, off with him saying to us, ach, you know what? This is a load of nonsense that you guys are speaking. I don't believe it. It's, you know, it's really just stories. You know, life is more real than that. And, you know, sharing with people the gospel make you realize that there is something to more to this life than just this. You know, because you can see the pain in their eyes, you can see the devastation, and you realize, can I just not, you know, penetrate your heart so that you can receive the most precious gift of all? And the more you spend time with people like this, the more you realize that something is happening in your heart. There's a transformation busy happening in your heart that you need to respect. You know, I went from Utrecht with just this excitement in my heart that, God, you are busy exposing us to your heart's desire for the continent of, well, Europe and beyond to Asia, but here to the UK. And you are showing us their hearts so that we can pray more, that we can trust God to be the redemptive vessels, to penetrate those hearts, because Jesus is coming. And I said to the Lord this morning, oh God, we've spoken about this topic so many times this year, and God said, I want to have this conversation again. I want to keep having this conversation until it drops in your spirit, not just into your intellect. So I want to share a few scriptures which I believe God is just laying on our hearts, and I hope it's going to help you to make the same journey with me. And I can see that it is. I can see that, you know, just from the testimonies this morning at intercession as well, God is doing awesome things. So Proverbs 16, verse 3 to 6. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Yo. There's a few hard scriptures that I'm going to leave with you this morning, because I've got an urgency about the gospel. There's something that God is just stirring within me. He's saying, listen, I've got a desire to see this place coming to me. I've got a desire. And this morning it was beautiful to hear your hearts on the Father heart of God. Everyone proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will be unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. This is hard words. Are you with me this morning? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 5 to 10, which is manifested evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Hard words, hard things that I'm working through with God. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. On the other side, if you have Jesus, it's amazing. It's amazing to be part of the gospel and about a relationship with God. Obey of Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished. Sorry, let me just get back. And to give, verse 7, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, I know it's hard scriptures, of the Lord, and from the glory of his power when he comes in the day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. There's a job to do. There's a people that need the gospel so desperately. Mark 4, 29. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And this morning, my message to you is, the harvest has come. Jesus has proclaimed it, and he's waiting for us to go and reap that harvest. And when it comes to a sickle is the sign of judgment, and judgment to the nations and to wrongdoing and to the suffering of being on the wrong side of God. But you must understand suffering and punishment before you can understand grace. Is it not so? Because the more you understand the punishment that, you know, sinful desires and fleshly works brings, the more you understand that it's only by the grace of God that we actually can live a life of freedom. And it's that grace that makes us to live
It's that grace that makes us to have thankful and hearts of gratitude. And, you know, the sickle brings us to an understanding that, you know, Jesus will be coming and he will be reaping here on the earth. Listen to Revelation 14:14-19. Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having in his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle." I want to say to you this morning, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And I don't want to even get into the symbolism of this morning. But different angels coming with sickles. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Joel 3:13, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great." Woo! Feels like a fire and brimstone this morning. But the beautiful thing is, you know, when it comes to the sickle, God's desire is actually to reap those who do good, those who wants to have a relationship with the Father. And, you know, the challenge that we have is that judgment is coming against those who don't receive. But God's desire, like we've heard this morning, the Father, is to reconcile with the United Kingdom. His desire is to see people coming to the fruit of a relationship with him. So let's talk about the sickle. It must be sharp, it must be tested, focused, and it must come out of an intimate relationship with God. And I want to say this morning, if you don't know the Word of God, you don't have a sharp sickle. Are you with me this morning? We need to spend more time in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God by heart. Because if we want to see the sickle of God coming to the generation that we are busy serving, and we've been speaking about the generation that we are serving, then I want to say to you, the best tool that we have is the sharpness of the Word of God. If your sickle is not sharp, you're going to struggle to get the harvest in. Because I don't know if you've seen it yet. These days, we only know the machines that reaps the harvest. Those big machines. What do you call it in English? I know it's strooper in Afrikaans. Harvester. So you've got these harvesters that goes over a field and brings in the wheat and the crop. And, you know, we're not talking about those this morning. We're talking about hard labor. When it gets to bringing in the harvest, it means that, you know, for those laborers, it meant that they had to take a heap of wheat and then cut it with a very sharp sickle. If you don't have a sharp sickle, it's going to struggle. Okay. So I want to say to you this morning, if we want to reap, we must know the Word of God. We must know how it works in our lives and apply it into our lives and have a relationship with God that counts. Secondly, we must be skilled to use it. I can tell you, I don't know if you've seen people harvesting yet. I had a grandpa that, you know, had a farm, and I remember him, you know, reaping with a sickle still. And, you know, it was quite a process because he, on his farm, had this display, or not on the farm, but at a museum close to the farm, always had this display of how they would cut the wheat, and then they would actually, you know, thrash it so that all the little corns would come out so that they can use it, the little seeds would come out. But it was clear that you need not just a sharp sickle, because you can even cut your own hand off if you don't get it right. You must be skilled in using that sharp sickle. Now, I want to say to you this morning, for us in the gospel, it means that you must become sharp in your skill set to actually know that God, come and do something through me. And, you know, I was so blessed going into the streets and realizing the more we go into the streets, the more God shows us how to do it. The more God gives us the ability to sharpen our skill sets to reach the lost. So it means that we need a certain rhythm. We need practice. We need discipline. And I want to say to you this morning, don't stop. Keep on doing it until your skill set develops. But don't stop. Keep on doing it. So some of you might be discouraged this morning and saying to me, I've tried so many opportunities this year to share the gospel, and yet it feels like I don't get a breakthrough. And this morning my word to you is, the skillfulness of your hands is busy developing into a mighty harvest field that God will be bringing. Number three, it is an old implement, but it works. The sickle is old, but it works. The gospel is the same gospel that Jesus Christ came to preach, and it still works today. You know, I was so confronted this week again, you know, with all of our amazing social media and all stuff that you can use these days. The most beautiful thing still is the preached word of God. The opportunity to speak out. And I've mentioned it the last time, but I'm going to say it again. Spending time with God earlier this year, I was saying, God, clearly one-on-one evangelism in the streets doesn't work. And God said to me, no, you're missing it. Programs and nice tools that you are using is not going to change the hearts of people. It's the preached word of God. And that's why we go into the streets. And I want to say to you this morning, there's a reason why we step out. And I'm not saying just through formalized, you know, gatherings and going into the streets. I can hear many of you testifying of in the workplace, preaching, you know, speaking the word of God. If you, it's not through works that we're going to get people saved. This is a hard one. Because you hear many Christians saying, ooh, you know, if I can just have a lifestyle that people will see the love of God through me, that is not changing people's lives. It's good, and it's a representation of the love of Christ and the transformation that He brings in our lives, and it can help. But the only way that we can see people coming into a very real relationship with Christ is if we preach the word of God in their lives. And I want to challenge you this morning, because I'm challenged by it. You know, we must speak out the truth of God and trust that the Holy Spirit will work it in people's lives and change and transform them. And then, timing. If you reap it while it's green, guess what? It's not going to be a great harvest after all. If it's overripe, it's also not good. You must get the timing right. And you know, I'm so blessed by the way that God is, you know, using us to time and time again share into people's lives until we see the breakthrough. I've read this week, I think I've mentioned it to some of you, that, you know, the marketing guys say that they believe in the rule of seven. People need seven confrontations with the same thing in order to go to action, which means that if you want to see a person going to action, a marketing campaign will only be successful if he seven times engage in a different way to that marketing material. And it was interesting to me, because I realized that sharing the gospel is the same. Sometimes we lose heart when we share the gospel for the first time. And God, you know, Jesus clearly shared the gospel the whole time and trusted people to be changed and transformed. And I want to say to you, keep on doing it. Trusting God. You know, I spoke to the guys of the turning, and they said, you know, even though you are in a British society that don't like people to be abrasive and, getting into their personal space, the only way to see the gospel being spread in this nation is if you keep on doing it until people make a choice. Now, I want to say to you guys, I've got a heart to see people making a choice. The reason for that is not to enforce, and we're not going to do that. I'm going to say that later on as well. We're not enforcing ourselves on anyone, but everyone must have the opportunity to make a choice for the King of Kings. I've desired just to say, Jesus, I don't want people to go astray. I want your heart to be portrayed to them. I want you to penetrate their minds and their hearts. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you believe it? Are you awake this morning? Do you believe that it's the day of salvation? Five, it's hard work. It brings sacrifice. Sacrifice is not the focus, but the reward is. And when we know the reward, we keep on doing it. Because even though it's hard work, it's well worth it. And then number six is teamwork. We need the relational skills to work together to bring in the harvest. 1 Peter 3 verse 8 to 16. Finally, all you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. And I can testify in this church, it's the truth. I can see that you love one another. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. Listen to this. It's sometimes difficult to share the gospel of God. To share the truth that you've received. And even if you go through difficult. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. No, it's beautiful to serve Christ. Because even in the midst of adversary, even in the midst of things not always going our way, we love Jesus and he is on a journey with us. You know, I can say, I've got a heart for Utrecht. You know, after being there and listening to the stories of people. Do you have a heart for your workplace, for your neighborhood, because you can see them through the eyes of the gospel? If not, this morning I want to challenge you again. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is he. The first one of being in relationship, team builders, is we need to be in one mind, being united by common interest and outlook. A mutual agreement imposed by God's word and guidance through his Holy Spirit. You must think, experience, and do the same things. The mind of Christ, Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Jesus Christ. Secondly, when it comes to teamwork, is compassion, being sensitive and responsive to the feelings of others. If in one mind it is difficult not to share the burdens of others. You know, going into the streets and afterwards coming back to the table and just saying to one another what happened in the streets. It was so beautiful to me to hear how people were testifying about the people that they've reached. Just telling the stories of, I've reached this person, and you know, it was sad to hear their story, but I'm going to pray for them. In this week, there was one guy that I shared the gospel with, and I said at the end to him, listen, can I take your number? You know, I want to follow up with you. And so I, the next morning, just before church, I sent him the message, and he, just before the service, sent a text message and saying, listen, sorry, I can't be there, but you know, thanks for thinking of me. And in this week, he came back to me as well. And, you know, it's so beautiful. I prayed for him the whole week. And I realized that where in the world will you find people that will be committed to pray and have a genuine interest for people like those who serve the gospel? Who will, in this world, spend a whole week praying for another person or thinking even of them and trusting for breakthroughs in their lives and be genuinely so concerned about their lives as people of the gospel would be? It's amazing.
Amen.
God must do something in your heart to be so persistent and so loving toward people that needs to come into the God, into the kingdom. I want to say to you, that's the power and the fruit of the gospel. Is when you start to be transformed by the gospel, it allows you the heartbeat of God where you start to lay before God for people. And just listening to the genuine testimonies of those who shared the gospel around the table, I realized that there's something beautiful that this represents. People that shares the gospel has a heart for people. A heart like none others. I mean, you can have marketing people on the streets and they will share with you whatever campaign they have, but there's no genuine interest in your life except just sign on the dotted line so that I can get a debit order for your account. You know, there was even political parties there in Utrecht that was busy signing up people, you know, for their political campaign. And I realized that's the difference, is that the people that shares the gospel brings the good news because they really have a genuine interest to see people transform. And I want to tell you, whenever we share the gospel and whenever we see the wrath of God as being one where there's a loving Father that's reaching out to people and He wants to bestow His grace upon them, something happens within us. We start to love people beyond ourselves. And when you can get to that place where less of you and more of Him, you find contentment in life. And so people that shares the gospel are people that selflessly enters into the heartbeat of God. And that's what I love about sharing the gospel. That's why I love even being so cautious these days in not being ready all the time to give an account for what God wants to do in and through our lives. But there's a compassion that happens. Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, Mel crying here this morning about the people that we prayed for earlier in this year. You know, that's the blessing of being part of the washing of the good news over our lives. Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Number three, about you know, teamwork. Love as brethren, loving others because they are family. You know, we love sincerely. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Romans 5 5, I think Sufiso shared it last week as well. No hope hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit to us, who was given to us. Let me just read it again. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, for me, Margot actually said it this morning at intercession as well, is God, please let us be the love that you want to be in Wimbledon, to the people of Wimbledon. Let us love them so much that they will experience the hope of God. And my desire is that we get to that place where we can be compassionate toward one another. Number four, pitiful, tender-hearted, a sensitivity that is quick to understand and show affection, empathy for one another's lives. And then the last one that this scripture is talking about is courteous, being humble, being in the right attitude and spirit before God and others. Now, I just realized that, guys, the good news transforms lives. And being in a society like this, I'm so excited about the light bearers that's sitting here. Those with the ability to say, I can stand between the dead and the living. I can actually share the love of Christ in such a way that I can glorify God. And that is our purpose. And I want to say it this morning again. You are here to fulfill God's kingdom, to portray His glory, and to share and bless other believers. And for me, that is the essence of what we're doing here. The gospel transforming not just our lives among one another, and the love that it evidently brings into all of us, but sharing it with those outside that can be transformed. The good news to the nations. Let's just quickly stand, because this morning, my desire, and it's a simple message, but you know, I was so convicted this week about the fact that a church without this simple message, because we love the deep revelation, awesome stuff, but I can tell you, a church that does not have the true revelation of the gospel transforming lives stagnates, dies, and becomes an inward focus. And my desire is just that this season will actually represent something beautiful. And that is, God, let us not come to church to only be transformed, but to transform. And I'm confronted with the fact that God's judgment is going to come against the nations. I'm more than ever just, you know, so aware of the fact that the world is not heading into a good space at this moment. And I'm not a doom prophet. What I want to say to you is those who don't choose to follow Christ, you know, it's going to be hard times. But one thing that I do know is that there's light bearers that's going to share the gospel to the nations. And I want to be part of that. I want to say, God, I'm going to invite whoever I can to Alpha. not because the tool is going to make the difference, but because of your grace extended to people's lives. There's judgment coming, but you know what? There's the grace of God that is more clear and more evident than ever before. In the midst of the greatest darkness, and this is what the scriptures is saying, in the midst of the greatest darkness, God extends His grace more than anything else. I want to receive that grace this morning. Father, as we stand before you, I do realize, Father God, that you're on a journey with us, and we see this as precious. We see this as sweet fragrance to you. The fact that we are pushing in and trusting you, Father God, for beautiful things to come. Thank you for the gospel. And thank you that it's more than enough for the times and the seasons that we are in. Thank you that we can see that you are ready to reap the harvest. And this morning again, we want to come to you as a congregation, and we want to say thank you for the gospel transforming us even more than the people that we are sharing it to at this stage. We pray, Father God, that you will bring us to a place where your supernatural impartation and anointing will penetrate the hearts of the people of the UK. Thank you that you are the harvester. Thank you that you are a father. Thank you that you love us enough to allow us this morning to share your heartbeat. We ask for a supernatural impartation in our hearts, a seed of the gospel to come and sit here in our hearts, and that it will transform us first. In the name of Jesus. We pray for our friends. We pray for those who need you so desperately. Pray, Father God, for a world that desperately need you at this stage. And all that we can see is that you are the solution to everything. You are the solution to the pressures that they are under. You are the solution to the pain that they are experiencing. And I pray, Father God, for the seeds that we've sown in Utrecht and here in London and will be sowing in the future. I pray, God, that it will germinate and produce much fruit. We love you, Jesus. You are precious to us. Standing, I just want us to connect with God. I'm just trusting God this morning for a seed to be birthed in your heart. Just pray aloud to God. Just start to ask Him. Ask Him for your friends. Ask Him for your family. Ask Him for the nations this morning. Just do it aloud. Oh Jesus, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. It's between you and God this morning. My desire is this morning, let's come to the altar. Let's just say, God, we don't know, because I don't have the answers. I must say to you, I'm exploring with you. This is a journey with you. But one thing that I know is God is doing something here that, you know, that's beautiful. And all that I want you to do is this morning is to let's be honest with God. Through our desperations, throughout God, just show us, give us wisdom. Give us the ability to see this one through, because we want to see your heartbeat. And, you know, I felt like moving on from this topic, and God was not releasing me to do so. I was thinking of all kinds of other things that God is speaking to me, and every time I start to prepare something, you know, God says, no, go back. I want to have a conversation about the gospel. And I do realize that, you know, it feels to you maybe this morning, okay, again this conversation, but you know what,
I'm not going to walk away from God's agenda. And God said to me, I want to actually birth something in your heart supernaturally. And so I want to trust that we're going to pray for one another now. Okay? Not because, you know, we're not trying. This morning I'm not even fighting with you as much as I'm fighting with myself. And saying, God, I need wisdom. I need, but I'm not going to settle for anything less. We are here as your light bearers. We want to be used by you. So this morning, I know one thing is that the anointing breaks the yoke. And we're going to pray for the anointing over one another's lives. Is that all right? And I'm going to send the oil around. You're going to pray with somebody next to you this morning. And just say, God, I'm ready for this. I'll do whatever it takes. But God, I don't want to miss you. And as we anoint one another, that consecration has power. There's something in the spirit that I believe is going to drop in our spirits as well. Is that all right? Okay, just give me a few more minutes.